I got thrown into my first treatment center when I was 18. I had been doing meth for only about 6 months, but already my life had begun falling apart. I dropped out of college and ended up having a sort of breakdown, wandering the streets and talking to people who weren't there. I didn't really come out of it until a police car was pulling up beside me. The officer threatened to arrest me, but eventually let me go. My dad helped me get into rehab 5 days later, a large Victorian-style, falling-down mansion on Fell and Steiner. I still remember walking in there that first day. It had threadbare red carpeting, a rotted, creaking stairway, and long, misshapen, warped hallways leading to room after room of beds, beds, beds. There must have been around 50 of us in that house, all men. We had groups all day where we were educated about substance abuse, 12 steps, and how to live life sober. Walking through those green-painted wooden doors, my whole body was shaking and I felt like maybe I'd throw up or something. My dad was there beside me, wearing that same old wool sweater he used to shelter me in as a child. His hair was clipped short, black and gray. His square glasses obscured his eyes, which were red from almost crying. Maybe he was shaking too.
"Dad, please," I begged him. "I'll stop, I promise. Please, I don't need to do this."
"You can't come home, Nick."
"But Dad, I don't belong here."
I was wrong. I knew it the first group I went to. One of the residents, Johnny, a squat little man with scraggy facial hair and a dyed black mohawk, told his story. He talked about his descent into crack cocaine addiction. What struck me wasn't so much the specifics of his story, but rather the feelings he described. He talked about how until he started using, he had always felt like some alien, different from everybody. I think what he said was, "I felt like everyone else had gotten this instruction manual that explained life to them, but somehow I just missed it. They all seemed to know exactly what they were doing, while I didn't have a clue. That is, until I found drugs and alcohol. Then it was like my world suddenly went from black and white to technicolor." Of course, that had been my experience too. But it didn't mean I was willing to change my behavior. I loved drugs. I loved what they did for me. They relieved me of that terrible sense of isolation I had always felt. They gave me the manual to life that Johnny had described. I could not give that up. But my parents were so hopeful, and the counselors would give you more privileges if you cooperated, so I did. I said what they wanted me to say. I shared about my commitment to repairing the damage I had caused. I talked about being willing to adopt the spiritual principles outlined in the 12 steps, and I suppose part of me meant it. I didn't want to become like some of the other men at Ohlhoff House, grizzled, toothless, having lost everything, but I still had this feeling like it could never happen to me. I had a 4.0 in high school, for Christ's sake. I was a published writer. I came from a good family. Besides, I was too young to really be an addict. I was just experimenting, right? They released me 30 days later, and I moved into a halfway house in the city. I stayed sober 3 days. Then one night, I said I was going to a meeting, but drove to hook up Crystal instead. The car just seemed to drive itself across the bridge to Oakland. I never came back that night. When my parents found out, I was forced to go into another 30-day program in Napa. After that, I managed to stay clean for over a month. But when I went away to college in Amherst, Massachusetts, I quickly relapsed again. This time, however, I was able to hide it from my parents. As my behavior grew more erratic, stealing credit cards, writing checks to myself, and my lies more improbable, I just wanted to buy presents for Jasper and Daisy. My dad continued to dismiss what was happening. I was wasting away in front of him.